Amen. Thanks, Tom, for that song. That was awesome. Amen. These buildings you see around here, Tom spent a lot of time working on these buildings. He's carried a lot of block and stirred a lot of mud and done a lot of work, him and his dad both. And so we're blessed to have Tom. Amen? Amen. And his dad. I'll have to throw that in. Amen. We're blessed. Amen? I told you, sit up front so I could step on your toes this morning. You were scared, weren't you? Turn your ears off. Okay. He likes to give me a hard time, so I like to give him a hard time back. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm always thankful when he's here, though, because he makes me preach. So, hallelujah. I mean, there is power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is power in the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of the Lamb. How many know we are here today because of that Lamb, the perfect Lamb of sacrifice, shed his blood that we could have forgiveness of our sins, not just cover our sins. See, that's the beauty of all of this. We didn't just come and slay a lamb today that it would cover our sins and get us through for another year like they did on the Day of Atonement. I mean, you know, when his blood was shed, it not only covered my sins, but it removed my sins. And the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. That's good news this morning. Hallelujah. How far is the east from the west? Hallelujah. A long way. He said, I will remember your sins no more. So let me just tell you this morning, when you start bringing them up and you're talking to Jesus about it, he's saying, I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. It's under the blood. Amen. Everybody say it's under the blood this morning. Hallelujah. Our sins are under the blood, and at the precious name of Jesus. The scripture says that even when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. And our advocate is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He not only says, pleads our case, but he says, hey, I've already paid for that. Hallelujah. I mean, you can't get charged again for something that's already been paid for. And you can't pay for something that's already been paid for. Hallelujah. If you could have paid for it to start with, have at it. Amen. But you couldn't pay for it. He paid the ultimate price for our sins. And so I'm just so thankful today to live in the freeness and the fullness of the forgiveness of God in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor Lisa, do you still repent? Yes, I do. I got to repent every now and then. I got to change my mind. Repentance just means metanoia. It means to change your mind, to change your way of thinking. I still hope everybody in here changes your mind every now and then. Hallelujah. Every now and then I find out I really am wrong. I was waiting for an amen from the amen corner back there, but he's putting batteries in or something. He missed that one. Every now and then, I do have to change my mind. It's on CD now. I have proof that I said it. Hallelujah. I mean, no, sometimes we got to change. Amen. Hallelujah. And we are such creatures of habit that nobody seems to like change. Only wet babies like change. That's about the only thing that likes change. We say we do. But the moment things are not the way they were, we're like, well, what's that about? And why did that happen? And who changed that? And what, you know, what's up with that? And we think we like change, but we don't always like change. And I'm finding out, the older I get, the less I like change. You know, things just get comfortable. And hallelujah. But how many know we can get too comfortable where we are and in our ways and things like that, that we're not open to change, or we're not open to something new and something that's fresh and alive. Hallelujah. So I thank God that we have the opportunity to repent. Amen. I don't take nothing away from repentance. Anybody in here remember the day you repented? The day you received Jesus into your heart, the day that you accepted Christ as your Savior. There is no experience like that. Hallelujah. And everybody needs that experience. Hallelujah. But when he saved me, Sister Wilda, he meant it. He did it 100%, and he has carried me through. Hallelujah. And there's been times I've had to repent or change my mind or change my thinking or change my ways. Amen? And God has had to deal with me. How many are thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? David prayed a very powerful prayer. He said, "Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Hallelujah. I never want to come to the place where I can do what I want to do and not have the voice of the power of the Holy Spirit speak in my life, where I can override that voice. Amen? Hallelujah. People say, "Well, every time I talk about Jesus, I start to cry." Or if I come to church and I get all emotional and I cry and all of those kind of things. You know, and I said, I don't ever want to come to the place when I don't feel something. If I come to church and I don't feel it, then I need to reconnect somewhere. Hallelujah. When I first started preaching and I was just a young girl, little, when we would have broadcast and radio broadcast. Boy, that's been forever and a day. And we would have radio broadcasts and things like that, and Mom and Dad would want me to speak on the broadcast, and I said, I can't preach on there. I can't speak on there because I can't talk without crying. Every time I would get up or get started, I would just cry and boo-hoo and all of that kind of stuff, you know. And Mom would say, "Well, that just is the presence of God on you, you know. Don't worry about that, you know." And I said, "Lord, I just wish I could get to the place where I could preach and not cry." And a couple of times I had to preach and not cry, and it's not fun. I just take the crying because I'm just an emotional person. Amen? Because most of the time it just moves me. Amen? And I don't ever want to come to the place where His presence and His Spirit doesn't move me, that there's not something that burns within me. Hallelujah. Jeremiah said, "It's just like fire that shut up in my bones. I can't contain it. I can't control it. I can't hold on to it, but it's like a fire that shut up in my bones, Brother John," and it's just... Hallelujah. It's a driving force in us. Amen. And so that's the power of God in our life. I don't think we have to live without experience. I don't think we have to live without emotion. You know, people say, "Y'all get all emotional." Yeah, we do. We're emotional beings. Hallelujah. It's okay if you don't get emotional. You don't have to praise like I praise. You just need to praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just bless the Lord this morning, and I'm thankful for a God that I can feel. I'm thankful for a God that I can experience. I'm thankful for a life that's worth living. How many know the scripture said He came to give us life, and that more abundantly? Hallelujah. I don't want to just barely make it through. Hallelujah. I think, was it Irma Baumbach said, somebody said on Facebook this week, when she gets to heaven, she wants to get there and says, "I have nothing left. I've used up every talent you gave me." Hallelujah. Used up everything you gave me, Lord, everything that was in me. I used everything you gave me for the glory of your kingdom, for the power of your kingdom. Amen? And I want to come in skating and high-five, and I don't just want to crawl my way in. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to live life to the fullest. Well, let's preach a little bit today. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Old things passed away, all things become new. Amen. There you go. He said, "We have no past, but the devil has no future." That's good news this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. He was defeated at Calvary, Brother John. Took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Absolutely. There is no sting in death. There is no victory. Hallelujah, in the grave. Luke chapter 24. Last Sunday we talked about Mary Magdalene who came to the tomb. And I love the story of Mary Magdalene. I love the story of all the characters that Jesus hung out with. Characters. And they were. You know, you'd think if a man was going to set up his kingdom on the earth and he was going to be the Messiah, you know, Jesus, the great healer, the great prophet, the great man of God sent from heaven, you'd think he would set up his cabinet with distinguished men and women of God, you know, the holy dudes, all of those kind of people, but he didn't. Most of the time, Jesus hung out in the house of publicans and sinners and the harlots. He got himself in a whole lot of trouble, had a whole lot of reputation about him. Hallelujah. But he said, you know what? Those who are whole don't need a physician, but those who are sick need a physician. What a mentality to say, you know what, those folks are okay, or think they're okay. But these kids, these guys know they need a physician. They know they need help. They know they need somebody. Hallelujah. And so in his cabinet of 12 or however many it was, I mean, he had 12 disciples, but he had a whole lot of disciples, whole lot of followers, one of them being Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene had the seven devils cast out of her. She has a reputation, and, you know, if you look in church history, they call her a whole lot of things, but a lot of it's unsubstantiated. It's not really who she is. But how many know she was one of the first people at the tomb to minister, and she went to find her dead Savior, her dead friend. She went to anoint his body because their turmoil was, what are we going to do when we get there? Because the stone is there, and we'll never be able to roll that stone away. That stone will keep us from being able to get to Jesus. But they went anyway. See, I like that kind of thinking. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going anyway. If I have to sit outside on the rock and pour oil down over the rock, I'm going to go because I need to connect. I need to figure this whole out. How many know it's been 3 long days? It's been 3 long days. One of the most horrific, gruesome, and shameful deaths you can die is a death by crucifixion. It was the highest rank of shame in the Roman government to do crucifixion. The beatings that he endured, the things that he went through on the cross. And to know that this man, you know, it's one thing to watch these crimes and these things being inflicted if you know the person's guilty. But when you know the person's not guilty, it just makes it that much worse. And so they've endured quite a lot over the last 3 days. But the scripture says Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. And she said, but who's going to roll away the stone when we get there? Mary, the mother of Jesus, also went. Mary, another Mary, and Cleopas's wife went to the tomb. There were several of the women that went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. But the scripture tells us that when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of time we talk about the stone. The stone is a symbolic a lot in a lot of ways of the laws and the commandments and the doings of Moses and the writings of Moses. How many know that law, that stone, has been rolled away? Aren't you glad for that today? Hallelujah. People say, well, don't you live by the Ten Commandments? Yes, I do. But Jesus reduced them down to two. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if we really truly will walk after those two commandments, you won't have to worry about the other 10 or the other 600 and some that come in the book of Deuteronomy or the book of Deuteronomy, whatever you want to call it. It's more don'ts than it is do's. So, you know, I mean, no, that narrows it down quite a bit. If you really love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your might, you're not going to want to offend your neighbor. You're not going to want to do anything to your neighbor to cause him harm. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to steal from him. You're not going to kill. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to do all of the things that are listed in the commandments. Amen? So I believe in all those things, but I believe Christ came to fulfill that. How many know under the law, if you committed the crimes or committed the things of the Ten Commandments, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you killed somebody, you were killed. If you committed adultery, you could be stoned. If you did, you know, a lot of these kind of things, you had to make the recompense. How many are glad today that there is forgiveness in Jesus? Hallelujah. Let me tell you, nobody knew that forgiveness or experienced that like Barabbas did on the day when they said, who will you release to us, Jesus or Barabbas? And they said, release to us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. You say, oh, Jesus would let a murderer go? Jesus would let a murderer go. Now, sometimes that doesn't set well with us, but let me tell you what, I'm thinking that you don't go home the same. Barabbas did not go home the same. I don't think he went back to business as usual. How many know the forgiveness of God in the power of the cross is above and beyond anything we can think or comprehend? You say, well, what can't we be forgiven of? Anything that wasn't paid for by the blood. Hallelujah. How many know all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for? The scripture says there is now no more sacrifice for sin, because he came once and for all to give us salvation and forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. That when we sin, the scripture says, we have an advocate that stands up and said, yep, she's guilty, but I already paid the price. Hallelujah. So scripture says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again in any yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. How many know I don't want to trade my sin and my, you know, my past life for any other kind of bondage? How many know you can be in bondage to a whole lot of things? You can love God with all your heart and still be in bondage to things. Hallelujah. But I believe Jesus came to set us free from everything. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of things in my life that I could do that I don't do, because I don't want to come under subjection to those things. I don't want to be in that to be a slave master to me. I don't want that to be my taskmaster. Hallelujah. I don't want to trade one set of bondage for another set of bondage. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's choices I make because I just don't want to go there. Hallelujah. How many know Jonah made the choice to go through the belly of hell? But even in the belly of hell, the scripture says that God began to speak to Jonah, and God brought life even out of the belly of hell, the scripture says. Hallelujah. And he decided he did want to go to Nineveh after all. Hallelujah. How many knows God? Sometimes God has to change our heart, change our desires, change our ways. Hallelujah. You know, and I came from a family that had a whole lot of bondage and had a whole lot of holds on their life. Amen. My dad was dying when he gave his heart to the Lord. Alcohol had just about killed him. He'd about destroyed his stomach. He came from a line of and all of that kind of stuff. But when God supernaturally touched him and saved him, he delivered him, mind, soul, body, and spirit. And I am just foolish enough to believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And I had a lady I was sharing the testimony with her, and she said, and delivered him just like that. He didn't have to go to rehab. He didn't have any withdrawals. He didn't have, I said, just like that. God set him free from the addictions that he had in his life of alcohol and cigarettes and things like that. The power of God to break the chains in our life. And I can tell you today, it can happen for you. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And so he has rolled the stone of condemnation away from us. He has opened the way. And the scripture says when Mary Magdalene comes and she looks into the tomb, she's downhearted. She's discouraged. And she says, oh no, they have taken away my Lord and I don't know where they've left him. And she goes back to tell the disciples, and John and Peter come running to the tomb, and they run to the tomb, and the scripture says, and Peter runs on inside. And when he gets inside, he sees the place where he laid, and he sees the funeral clothes, the garments that he was wrapped in, laying there, and the napkin folded over on a place by itself. And something inside Peter says, they didn't just steal away my Lord. There's something bigger going on here than what we could even have imagined. And God began to stir their hearts to some memories. And all of a sudden, Peter said, you know what? If they're going to steal his body, they're not going to unwrap him, and they're not going to take time to fold and do the laundry before they go. Hallelujah. And yet they go back shaking their heads saying, what is going on here? Hallelujah. But Mary stays behind for a few minutes, and she sees someone in the gardens who she's not sure who he is, and she says to him, sir, if you've taken away my Lord, would you tell me where you find him that I could go and anoint his body, that I could just one more time have an encounter with him and to anoint him with spices like he's anointed me. And she's supposing him to be the gardener. How many know he is the gardener of our life? Hallelujah. The same gardener from the beginning of the Garden of Eden is the same gardener to the place of the book of Revelations. And she said, sir, if you've taken him from me, could you tell me where you've taken my Lord? And Jesus simply says to her, Mary. And something about the way he says her name, she says, Rabboni, my master and my teacher. Hallelujah. And he says to her, don't touch me yet, Mary. He says, but go back to my disciples and go back to them and tell them that I am going before them into Galilee. Tell them that I indeed am alive. Tell them that I am resurrected. Hallelujah. Tell them I am the resurrection and the life. Tell them that you've just seen Jesus. Hallelujah. What an experience. What an encounter. You say, well, God would never make himself real to me, or maybe there's too much stuff in my life for me to ever really see Jesus. Well, let me tell you what. Mary had a past. She had some things in her past. But how many know what her future had before her was greater than anything that her past had held? Hallelujah. God made himself real to Mary Magdalene. Hallelujah. The first preacher of the gospel of the new covenant. Hallelujah. Guess who's the first person to get to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a risen Savior as a woman with a past who's been delivered from 7 demons, and she gets a revelation at the tomb and said, he is not here, he is not dead, but he is alive, and he holds the keys of death, of hell, and of the grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's got a gospel to preach. Amen. The first one to get to share the gospel of the New Testament of a risen Savior. So in Luke 24, I want to start at verse 13. And it says, and behold, two of them went that same day as Mary and them are at the tomb, to a village called Emmaus. Emmaus means a place of yearning, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. This title of my sermon today is the 7 Mile Sermon. They are about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, Cleopas's wife was one of the ladies at the tomb, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So here we have Jesus walking on the road with them to Emmaus. And he finds two of the disciples walking along in dismay, saddened, trying to figure out this whole scenario. And as they're walking and they're having conversation, Jesus just slips up behind them and says, so what's the conversation of the day, guys? What's going on? What you talking about? Who is this person that you're talking about? And they said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? I find that hilarious. Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You don't know what's been going on here for the last 3 days? And Jesus looks at them simply and says, yeah, what things? And that's a very profound question. Because I submit to you this morning, if I said to you, what things has taken place in 3 days in Jerusalem, what would your response be? Would you know what to say? And so they start back and saying to him all the things that they thought were going to happen and all the things that they thought were going to take place. But how many know what things took place in Jerusalem were way bigger than what Emmaus, what those guys, what Cleopas and them had just explained? What things, Cleopas, really did just take place here in 3 days and 3 nights? Hallelujah. Because what really happened in 3 days and three nights in Jerusalem, in that time and in that season, we will be forever trying to understand and forever trying to wrap our brains around and forever trying to embrace totally everything that Jesus did for us in 3 days and three nights on a cross, in a tomb, and in a resurrection in a garden. Amen? What things, Cleopas, really did happen here in Jerusalem? You tell me. You explain it to me. You tell me what you really got out of this. And so they begin to say, this Jesus who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed. How many know they still don't understand he is indeed the Messiah? That he is indeed the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. What things happened here, Cleopas? I just took all men's sin unto me. The scripture says, if I be lifted up, I will draw. How many? All men, all men, every color, every race, every creed, every sin, every affliction, I will draw all men unto me. That means everybody has the same right as you do to approach the throne of God, to come boldly before that throne and receive what? Grace and mercy. That happened here in Jerusalem, Cleopas. Hallelujah. And he begins to say to him, and he begins to listen to them as they share their thoughts, as they share. How many know sometimes when we're walking in a state of confusion, sorrow, disappointment, discouragement, bewilderment, how many know sometimes, or all the time, Jesus is walking with us in our midst, but sometimes because of our fears, because of our emotions, because of our thoughts and our reasoning, he's among us, but we don't see him because we're too busy trying to figure out this whole scenario of what's going on. Amen? Anybody in here in the house with me this morning? There's sometimes I'm walking in the midst of situations and I'm thinking, Lord, I just don't see you in this. I thought I had this all figured out. Lord, I don't see what you're doing in this. What possibly could be your will out of this? And sometimes our eyes are blinded and our eyes are withholding from seeing him because we're so trying to figure out the scenario. We're so caught up in our sorrow, our disillusionment, our disappointment that we can't see Jesus for looking at him. But guess what? He's there. He was there all the time. The reason I know he's there is because the scripture says, I will never leave you nor forsake you even unto the end of the world. Oh yeah, but when he finds out what I've been doing, he's going to leave me. You're not that lucky. Or not that unlucky, however you want to say it. Lynn preaches and says he's a stalker. He'll show up at the bar with you. He'll show up at the front door with you. He'll show up at the job on you. He'll show up, you know, he'll show up at the ball game with you, wherever you're at. Guess what? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me tell you what, you don't leave him at the door till you're done and come back and pick him up on the way home. He said, I am a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. That's good news this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to feel like shouting because I'm glad that even when I didn't feel like I deserved it, he was still with me. Even when I was caught up in my sorrow and my disillusionment, he was still with me. Even when I couldn't see what he was doing, he was still there. Even when I didn't know how this thing was all going to work out, he was still there. And he's still asking me the questions, Lisa, what things did really happen in Jerusalem? Because I'll tell you what, daily I get a revelation of the things that were done in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. I'm coming to understand one of the greatest revelations is that I will draw all men unto me. That means I don't get to pick and choose who's going to be saved, who's going to be drawn in, but the power of the cross is able to draw all men unto himself. And so we will forever begin to be trying to figure out what things really did take place in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And I have to think Jesus had a little giggle belly, you know, them little belly laughs that you get sometimes. I think he had one of them little giggles, you know, when you get started laughing and you can't get stopped. And he's standing there listening to them, and they're just telling this story, and they're just going on and on. And then they look at him and said, "Sir, have you been a stranger in Jerusalem?" "No, I was there." "Do you not know what just happened in Jerusalem?" "No, I was there." "This Jesus of Nazareth, have you heard of him?" "Yeah, I've heard of him." "Do you know what our leaders did to him?" "Yeah, pretty sure I do." What I want to know is, do you know? Do you know? Because if everything that I just did, you don't get it, if you don't get it, you're going to miss it. And what I did is not in vain. So if you don't understand, Cleopas, that I died for you, and I died as you, and I died that you could have eternal life, and I died that you could have healing, and I died that the old things were passed away, and so all things become new. If you don't get it, Cleopas, then I got a whole lot of work to do to get you to understand what really happened for you in 3 days and three nights in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Yeah, I am not a stranger in Jerusalem. I understand. Hallelujah. What things? Then he says unto them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Another translation says, "Oh, you silly folks. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And I love this scripture right here. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." A 7-mile sermon preached by Jesus himself of Moses, beginning clear back at Moses and the prophets, preaching to them all things concerning himself. Hallelujah. What a sermon that would have been to hear in 7 miles for him to go back and to say, "You remember the day on the Mount of Transfiguration where I stood with Moses and Elijah?" Hallelujah. You know, and as I was thinking about this yesterday while I was vacuuming, I was thinking about this portion of Scripture, and Terry and I did this demonstration last week. And we showed the Scripture says that in the tomb, when they looked in, there were two angels that stood, one at the head and one at the foot. How many know that's a picture of a mercy seat? Where the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, but two cherubim, Terry and I get to be angels for a day, two cherubim were there facing each other, and those cherubim would say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Hallelujah. The whole earth is filled with his glory." But then Jesus comes along in the New Testament on a mountain called Transfiguration, and there's a Moses and there's an Elijah. And guess who's standing right smack dab in the middle of them? But a mercy seat, and not just a mercy seat, but a blood sprinkled mercy seat, that he sees himself right in the midst of Moses and Elijah. Let me tell you what, Moses and Elijah is not standing there discouraged. They're not, both of those died missing the promise. Elijah dies discouraged. Moses dies missing the promised land. But how many know they, even under an old covenant, the best of the prophets and the best of the mediator of an old covenant still could not make it in on their own works? But there's a day. They can't find out where Elijah's buried. They can't find out where Moses is buried. But they can't find, but on the day of the mountain of Transfiguration, how many know Elijah stands there? Moses stands there. And I think there's a high five and says, Today is your day. We've come as far as we can take it. There has never been a plan B. There's only ever been a plan A. So we stand here, one on each side, saying, go for it and do what God has destined you to do. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world stands on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. And here he is, the very picture of a mercy seat. How many know he became our propitiation? He became our mercy seat. So as he stands there, Peter jumps up and says, hey guys, hey, I got a great idea. I know what. Let's build churches here. I mean, this is a powerful moment. His garment is shining. It looks like lightning up here. I mean, if everybody could see what's happened here at this moment, I got an idea. Let's build a church. We'll build a Moses church. We'll build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. That's a great idea, guys. But the heavens open up, and the voice comes from the heavens that says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. How many know he's declaring a new day from the heavens that says, in the person of Jesus Christ, I have taken a mate of twain, Moses and Elijah, one new man in the person of Jesus Christ, that he became my blood-sprinkled mercy seat, hallelujah, and fulfilled all the law and the prophets. Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets, hallelujah. So in a 7-mile sermon, he says, you remember the mercy seat? Yeah, that was me. You remember this lamb that was slain on the altar of sacrifice? Yeah, that was me. You remember the golden candlesticks? Yeah, that was me. I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. You remember the table of showbread, the bread of my face? Yeah, that was me. He said, I am the true bread. I am the bread that came down from heaven. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. How many know it was not a life-giving bread? Hallelujah. He said, but I come to give you life, and I come to give it more abundantly. So you know the table of showbread? Yep, that's me. You know the altar of incense? That the prayers and the praise of the saints and the intercessory place, yeah, that's me. I'm your advocate. I'm your intercessor. I am the one that stands between you and God. Yeah, that's me. You remember the veil on the temple, back on Moses' temple? Well, you know that when that veil was rent from the top to the bottom, a 4-inch thick veil? You remember when that was rent from the top to the bottom when I cried out, it is finished. Well, guess what? It is finished. It really is. No more is the veil there where you don't have access, but now the veil has been rent from the top to the bottom, and you now have access into the most holy place where only the high priest could go before. Oh, yeah, you know the high priest? Guess what? That's me. You remember the blood sprinkling on that mercy seat? That's me. Hallelujah. And above all that, you know, the tabernacle, I and my Father, we're going to come and we're going to take up our abode within you, and we're going to tabernacle ourselves in you. Hallelujah. You remember the smitten rock? It's me when I stood up on the day and said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I am the smitten rock in the wilderness. I am the bread from heaven. I am the manna. I am the serpent on the pole. I am your exodus out of Egypt. I am your entrance into the promised land. I am that I am. You know all of those things? That's me. Hallelujah. And for 7 miles, he preaches to those disciples all things concerning himself out of the book of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Hallelujah. So that when we begin to read the Psalms of David and where he begins to cry and to sing a song of worship that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. And yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me when all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Hallelujah. Yeah, Cleopas, I think I know what things just took place in Jerusalem. And guess what? I was not a stranger. I observed it firsthand. I walked it out. I lived it. And I fulfilled everything that the Father had ordained before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Yeah, I was hanging out in Jerusalem for a couple days. Hallelujah. And I understand what things. And says, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone a little farther. And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in just to hang out with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, that he took the bread, and he blessed that bread, and he brake that bread, and he gave it to them." Hallelujah. I think he had that little belly giggle again, and he takes that loaf of bread and he holds it up like he had done on the day when he fed 5,000, and on the day he sat at the Last Supper with his disciples, and he held up that loaf of bread and he blessed that bread. That loaf of bread, he blessed that loaf of bread, and he prayed over that bread, and he started to give it out to his disciples. And the scripture says, and he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. How many know you will never know him or know what happened in Jerusalem in 3 days and three nights if you do not partake in the breaking of the bread? Now, I'm not just talking about the bread of the communion. We did that last week in a demonstration of his body and his blood. But how many know when we come together, every time we come together and the word is shared, we understand more of him in the breaking of this bread, the bread of his word. Hallelujah. David said, "I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God." How many know we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood as often as you come together? Do this in remembrance of me. He's not just talking about the communion ceremony. He's talking about eating of the bread of his flesh, understanding what he accomplished for us at Calvary. And so as he begins to give it out, it says he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us?" The first case of heartburn recorded in the scriptures. And you know what? You can't get heartburn unless you eat. Amen? Hallelujah. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? Hallelujah. If we truly will hide his word in our heart, how many know it comes alive in us? There's nothing better than to be studying something in the word, or to be reading something, or God be speaking something to you, and go to a church service and God brings that out in the service and you're thinking, "I just read that. That promises for me. It's in the book." Hallelujah. It causes something to leap inside of you, to come alive, to burn within you the power power of God, as I said before, where Jeremiah says, it's just like fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. How many know the power of the Holy Spirit burns within us? Hallelujah. In agreement with the word of the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says, their hearts burned with us while he opened them the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And the scripture says they tried to tell the others what experience they had had in the way while he explained to them the scriptures. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you just can't put it into words everything that God speaks into your heart or your spirit or into your life. Hallelujah. The scripture says through the foolishness of preaching. Hallelujah. Pastor Justin said, preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Hallelujah. How many know the greatest way to preach the gospel is not what you say, but the demonstration of the actions of who and what you are and what you do. Hallelujah. To touch creation. And they tried to explain it to them, and they just could not hardly explain it. It says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, and listen to this declaration, peace be unto you. Hallelujah. How many know when they embraced him, when they sat at the table of communion with him, when they sat at his table, when they heard his words, hallelujah, his declaration to them was peace be unto you. Hallelujah. If you need peace in your life today, the best way to get peace is to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The presence of fellowship, the presence of breaking of bread, the presence of him pouring into you and speaking into your life all things concerning you and concerning everything that has been fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The scripture says, and when he would have went a little bit farther, they constrained him and said, don't go away. Come in. Sit with us. The day is far spent. Be a part of us. Sit down to the table with us. Hallelujah. How many know he needs to sit at the table with you? He needs to ride down the road in the car with you. He needs to go to work with you. Hallelujah. You know those days when you can't hardly get through and you don't seem for all of the other commotion that's going on around you? Well, he's there. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just need to find him. Hallelujah. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Where do we see the wings and the feathers? But on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. How many know when we dwell in a secret place called a mercy seat and understand the provision of God in our life, hallelujah, then we understand he is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is my God in whom I will trust. Hallelujah. And it says, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had seen a spirit. Is this too good to be true? And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, touch me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Touch me, feel me, see me, experience me. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. All things in the books of Moses, in the law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. How many know everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus? Everything from the beginning, from the book of Genesis to the Revelations, it's all about Jesus. Everything that Jesus gave them in the tabernacle and the furniture, every piece of that furniture, if we break it down, all points to Jesus. If you read the book of Hebrews this week, you'll find out the book of Hebrews is all about a better covenant, a better mediator, a better priesthood, a better tabernacle, a better faith. All of them are about better things that Jesus came to fulfill the laws of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. A 7-mile sermon that preached all things concerning himself. I dare say that if we would preach a sermon that was only about Jesus, then our eyes would be opened and we would be enlightened. Hallelujah. The problem is we've put so much other stuff in there and called it a sermon, and sometimes got all away from the picture of Jesus and his finished work and what he's done for us. Amen? But if we begin to declare in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelations all things concerning himself. Hallelujah. It's all about him. Hallelujah. Moses had a Joshua who brought the people in with a mercy seat. Moses ruled with a rod. Joshua ruled with a mercy seat. Elijah took the people as far as he could take them. But how many know there was Elisha that came on the scene and had a double portion of everything that Elijah had? How many know there is an Elisha among us? Hallelujah. He declared that John the Baptist was Elijah. But John the Baptist stands on the shore and says to all the people standing there, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. These people understood the Lamb of Sacrifice. For him to make such a bold declaration, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. The perfect Lamb of God is amongst us, folks. And that's when John says, I must decrease and he must increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am ready for an increase. Not necessarily just get more of Jesus, but an increase of the revelation of Jesus Christ and a greater understanding of everything that was accomplished in 3 days and 3 nights on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. And not just his death, not just his burial, not even just his resurrection, but he said, I'm seated on the right hand of the Father to see to it you get everything that I paid for. Hallelujah. Everything that I paid for. That's good news this morning. Amen. That's good news this morning. 7-mile sermon declared unto them all things concerning himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Adam took a garden, turned it in. Hallelujah. Adam turned a garden into a graveyard. Jesus turned a graveyard into a garden. Amen. Hallelujah.
Double out to know that He was there for me the whole time.
Yes, he was.
And now I'm able to hopefully help people with addictions.
Amen.
And shine and just give them my love.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even when you think you've hit rock bottom, he's still the rock at the bottom. Amen. That's good. That's good news this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Lisa, we're so proud of you. 5 years. Amen. How many of God delivers from addictions? Hallelujah. He's still delivering addicts. He's still delivering alcoholics. He's still delivering. He's still in the miracle working business. Amen. Hallelujah.